Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast, where we are committed to championing your human potential in Christ. Please visit us at edgegotin.com, where you will find support resources, particularly a one page that will allow you to capture your learnings from each of the podcasts that are posted at edgegotin.com. The title of today's podcast is The Ping of Fear. Don't respond. The more you respond, the louder it gets. The learning objective when you walk away from this podcast is that you will know specific scriptures and a specific protocol that will empower you to activate the power and authority of Christ to overcome fear, self-doubt, and worry, which are the two bodyguards of fear. Self-doubt and worry usually march in with fear. I am joined today again by my fabulous colleague and friend, Jen Klopek. Jen, thank you for being in the house today.
Thank you, Lauren. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you. Praising God.
Yep, absolutely. So, sweet Jesus, we jump in today. We know that if you don't show up in today's podcast, it will not go well. So we give over to you the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart. May they be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone who's tuning in today. Help us to learn how to activate that power and authority that you have given us so that we can really figure out how to fight that spiritual warfare, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, meaning against the people around us that trigger us. That's flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of evil that are waging war against our soul. So we pray for the strength to learn the protocol. Train us up, Lord. Train us up in today's podcast so that we don't respond to the ping of fear that the devil constantly drops into our life, knowing that the more we do respond to it, the louder it gets. And that's how those strongholds are formed. So in your name, we cast out any stronghold of fear in our life today so that we can move forward in confidence, knowing that you have already overcome all that we feel has overcome us today. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm going to jump in with a few scriptures and also with a little preface. The inspiration, I like to share where the inspiration of these podcasts come from. This particular inspiration of this podcast came from another podcast that I was listening to, which often is the case. And the Holy Spirit really convicted my heart to keep pulling this through and transferring it. It came from a podcast that Joyce Myers put out on spiritual warfare. And it really convicted my heart, particularly in the time that we find ourselves in and just the expansive space of uncertainty, just not knowing, and how that is a place where the devil prowls around like a roaring lion ready to pounce on us. And what he does is he sends those pings of fear. You ever gotten a ping on your phone, a ding, a ping? And what's interesting, if you don't turn your phone off, you become addicted to that ping. And the science behind that, it's actually, there's a condition that popped up several years ago called nomophobia. It's actually an additional anxiety disorder called nomophobia. And it is an addiction to that ping. And so when your phone is more than 5 to 10 feet away from you, you have an anxiety that pops in. And if you can't hear that ping and respond to your phone or keep checking in, and the checking in is basically an eager desire for good news or any news at all. And it's also attached to FOMO, the fear of missing out. These are some playgrounds that Satan prowls around in. Then the more we understand his MO, the stronger we can stand at the gate of our thoughts. The gate of our thoughts is where our victory lies. As we read in Romans 12, 1 through 2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is our victory between our two ears, taking every thought captive. And so we're going to be sharing today several scriptures to help us learn how to activate that power and authority that is ours. By the way, it is ours. We are told that we have power and authority, not just power. So to understand first and foremost, what the heck are we fighting against? In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, Paul lays this out to the Corinthians very clearly. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. It may seem that they are, because they're evoking emotions that seem very worldly, like uncertainty, like fear, like self-doubt, like worry. Who will I be when things open up? Will I be able to handle the shift, the change? Can I handle change? The weapons we fight with, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. If you have your Bibles, highlight that phrase. They have divine power to demolish the strongholds of fear, self-doubt, worry. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There's a key invitation. That's a coaching moment right there, right, Jen?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
The knowledge of God that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive. Now, there's the knowledge and there's the action. The knowledge of God, that's what we use. What's the knowledge of God? The word of God. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. How's your thought life been lately? What have you been giving free rent to? This is a topic that we can hear every single day because it takes a lot of outside the ring practice. So when we are in the ring and we're compromised by fear, self-doubt, or worry, the devil doesn't get his way with us because we're taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. Does the devil ever tell you that nobody cares about you? Does the devil ever tell you that you can't do something, that you're not going to be able to handle something, that you're not okay? Understand the phrases that the devil uses to snag you and to get that entry. It's that entry that he's looking for, that stronghold where the enemy digs in and actually hides inside your mind, just waiting to go from dormant to live, dormant to live. When we remember that we're not fighting with the weapons of the world, get thee behind me, Satan. Know the word of God and use it to activate the power and authority that we are told we have in Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. He's given you power and he's given you authority. In the scripture, we're told that Satan doesn't have authority. He just has power, but no authority. And the only authority that Satan will ever get, that the evil one will ever get, is the authority that you give him. Fear does not enter in your mind without a consent form signed by you. So, Jen, what is our practical transferring of the word of God so that we can learn how to activate this power and authority and learn spiritual warfare, learn how to fight with Absolutely. The power of God and not our emotions?
And that's a great question, Lauren. And the Bible is our guide. It teaches us. And the things that you're saying and the verses that you're sharing, first of all, we need to know who God is and how he manifests himself and all the traits and attributes of God. He is righteous. He is sovereign. He is the creator. He has won the victory through Christ. The victory won, and Satan knows that. And so Satan needs to, like you said, attack host people that are willing to carry out his plan, because it's not God's plan, ultimately, for us to live in fear. And so knowing who the enemy is really important. And I know sometimes, and I think even some churches steer away from this topic and this concept of spiritual warfare, or talking about, or even saying the word the devil or Satan. So I'm really, thank you, Lauren, for leaning into this and being you and just sharing the entire truth. And so practical applications, first is really knowing God's word. I've got to say, Just this past week, I was studying 2 Timothy 3:16. And what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that's God's calling. His word is truth and the blueprint for how. So first and foremost, the first practical application, and I encourage everyone to get to know God by reading his word in the Bible. God reveals himself to us through numerous avenues. One is the Bible, his word. The second is through creation, just looking out and seeing God's creation. He reveals himself to us every day through creation. Thirdly is through the Holy Spirit. God's given us the Spirit. We keep talking about power and strength we have, and we get that power and strength through the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, God speaks through other people, and you might be, God might be speaking through us today, and that's the power we have in the Holy Spirit to speak his truth. And so first of all is getting to know God. I wanted to start there. Second is getting to know really who is the enemy. And when we say the enemy, what do we have power over? We have power that God has given us. And basically in the Bible, God tells us to stand firm. And so a practical application of that would be, and you have this verse, I know for you to talk about, it's Ephesians 6. The verses are 10 through 20. And God gives a blueprint of exactly what to do in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 to stand firm. And that's really putting on the spiritual armor of God. And I had a conversation with my son, Lauren, a while ago, and Jacob had said to me that he actually physically puts on the armor of God every morning. I mean, what a beautiful thing of actually thinking about consciously, what does this mean? If I'm to stand firm and to come up with practical ways to attack this enemy. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to go ahead and read some of these verses of the spiritual armor. But it is, I'm going to start off on verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take a whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to, there's that word, stand firm. And it says again, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So that would be the first thing that I would physically do, Lauren, is put on this belt of truth and to meditate on what is true. God's word is true. And it goes back to that verse that I read in 2 Timothy 3 through 16. God's word is true, correcting for reproof, training in righteousness. And then God goes on to say, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, and in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And so even when you mention fear, Lauren, I think fear and faith can coexist in the same space. We're consciously choosing to sign off, like you said, whether or not we're going to give Satan free rent in that fear department, or are we going to give that power and authority to God in that faith department? Which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, praying at all times in the Spirit and keeping alert with all perseverance. I think real practical applications are standing firm, being able to call out the enemy when you can tell that slithering in and stealing your peace away from you, and then honestly putting on the spiritual God.
That's so powerful to consider the solution there in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, because the solution is provided. Paul just lays out to Ephesus, this is our struggle, you guys. What are you struggling today with, listener? What specifically are you struggling with? Is it a fear, a specific fear? The more specific you get, It's like what Jesus says, whatever you drag out to into the light loses its grip on you, which is why one of the first steps in AA, that 12-step program, is that ruthless, courageous honesty. My name is Lauren, and this is the deal. So thinking about the power of authenticity and vulnerability, and also declaring, this is where I'm at, God. I'm afraid. I'm scared we won't make it. I'm scared. I'm afraid to go out in a different direction. I'm afraid of the unknown, the uncertainty. I feel alone. What is your state of mind and emotions right now? Because an emotion is your body's response to your thought life. So what is your state of being in your mind? Sometimes it happens so fast. You're just wheeling with the emotion. You're just left with the fear. Or the dark cloud, or the anxiety that comes from not knowing. One of the two questions actually keep us up quite a bit at night. I remember when I was going through Advanced Cancer, which was my biggest art school class on really stripping myself of ego, and along with my hair and breasts, eyebrows and eyelashes, and getting totally at the end of myself. And it was then that I could experience the resurrected Christ within me, because I'd gotten out of the way. One of my prayers is, dear God, override me, because I know that I get in the way of your mighty work, and our need to understand how things will turn out, as well as to understand why things happen as they do, are two huge playgrounds that Satan occupies to keep us tripped up from the power of the present moment. And it's the power of the present moment that we read about in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, that in the present moment, this is a constant spiritual warfare that's going on. And our victory lies in our mouth, because the mouth, out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaks. And if your heart is grounded in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your mouth will declare that victory that is yours, that is mine. What are you declaring? Turn with me to Psalm 91, because Psalm 91, and I've mentioned this before, that was the one, you can hear me flipping through my college Bible here, because the Holy Spirit just put this on my mind. Read this. Psalm 91, as I read through this, some of these verses, where do you recognize yourself? First and foremost, where do you recognize yourself? And where do you stand in terms of, you know that you're not fully buying in when there's a strong emotion. Now remember, an emotion is your body's response to your thought life. So just keeping that in mind as we're applying the scriptures and the power of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Your mouth is a spiritual weapon. And when your heart is linked to the heart of Christ, the risen Christ within you, then that directly influences the mind pattern, the thoughts you dwell upon. That allows you to get off the stage of drama. You know that you're in drama when there's strong negative emotions at play and when they're driving your bus. Beep, beep. And usually they're running over and leaving a lot of carnage, not just you, because hurt people, as we know. And I'm guilty of that as well. And so we come back to that flow. It starts in the heart. It starts in that I stand at the door of your heart, Revelations 2:20. Whoever hears my voice and opens, or 3:20, whoever hears my voice and opens his heart to me, I will come in and live with them. Oh, great. Now you're sitting in my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart so that my mind would be controlled by the same mind of Christ that lives within me. Then my mouth will speak. When my mouth says, as we're told in Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you believe that he is your refuge and your fortress? Do you trust in him, my God in whom I trust? We're told in scriptures, if you do believe this, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness shall be your shield and rampart. You won't fear the terror at night. The terror at night comes from those two questions I mentioned. The deep desire and linking your sense of identity and safety to your need to be in control, your need to know why things happened as they did, as well as your need for control and your need to know how things will turn out. That's the terror of the night. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the error that flies by day. Those are those pings. That's the title of today's podcast, The Ping of Fear. That's that arrow. It pings you. It hits you. What do you do when you're hit with that? Whatever you focus on grows bigger. Back to that nomophobia. It starts with an initial ping. You respond to a ping on your phone. You respond again and again and again. And in neuroscience, what happens if you respond enough times, you create a dopamine loop that actually excites the brain that becomes addictive. Fear, anger, and any strong emotional state of being holds within itself the power to be addictive. Actually, when the brain is in that space of strong negative emotion, it actually releases a chemical that can be addictive. Who can save us, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7? This is the difference between the flesh driving your bus or the spirit. Who will save me from myself? I know what I should do. I should live in peace and trust God, and I keep doing what I don't do. Who can save me? The awakening, and the attentiveness of the realization that Jesus Christ of Nazareth dwells within you. This Psalm 91, the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, the plague that destroys at midday, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Now, link this back to Psalm 1 and 2. It will not come near you when you trust in the Lord and make him your refuge and fortress. This is a piece that is often overlooked. When you make the Lord your trust and your fortress, and you armor yourself with the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the word of God within you. This is how you stand firm, one thought at a time. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make, here's the if, circle that, Psalm 91:9. If, here's our choice point, this is a coaching moment. What will you choose? If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and serpent, because that's another word to circle. So if in Psalm 91:9, because in Psalm 91:4, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he, here's another invitation of act for action, acknowledges my name. Do you acknowledge Jesus' sovereignty over your fear, over your worry, over your doubt? Is he sovereign? And even when you don't feel it, now remember how easily scared and scattered the emotions that course through us in life. The emotion is your body's response to your thought life. When your emotions have their lights knocked out and you find yourself pinged by fear in that dopamine loop of continually returning to it again and again and again, you are the only one that can stop that vicious cycle. How? Make the Lord your God your refuge. Declare your trust in him. Lord, I trust in you. Help my unbelief. Help my lack of trust. I want to have you on the throne of my thoughts, one thought at a time. Because he loves me, increase my love, Lord. I don't fully love you because I know that the Bible says perfect love drives out all fear. And you know what? I can't sleep right now. It's been 2 hours and I'm mucking around in fear. So I need your help. Help me to experience your love for me, because I know if I experience that, it will cast out all fear. I will rescue him because he loves me, says the Lord in verse 14. I will protect him. Why? For he acknowledges my name. So here we have so many directives in Psalm 91. I will rescue him because he loves me. I will protect him because you acknowledge my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. I circled that huge in my Bible. And I remember at night, even though the doctor said I had 5 years to live at 38, I said, no, that's what they say. This is what you say. So I declare the truth of the word of God, the living word of God, over my life. This is our spiritual weapon. We don't fight the way the world fights because we know that this is a spiritual warfare. And so the weapon we use is our invitation to have Christ sit on the throne of our heart, to be the Lord of our thoughts, so that out of that connection of our heart and our thoughts, our mouth declares the truth of the word of God. And we fill our mind. I'll often say, I don't trust my mind in transitions because I'll follow all those shiny objects. I will follow those pings. It's like a cat toy. And I'll just keep following it and I'll go down the rabbit's hole. I know I can't trust my mind, so much so that between transitions, I'm either listening to my Bible app, a prayer meditation, another podcast, or music, praise music, praise worship. These are our spiritual weapons that allow us to gain victory over the ping of fear and allow us to stop and resist him, which is, how do you resist the devil that prowls around like a roaring lion? Resist him. There's not a huge 10, 15 step program. It's simply resist him. Call out in the name of Jesus Christ. Jen, can you share that encounter? Here's a perfect example of someone that perhaps just has the name Jesus on his heart, but hasn't experienced the conversion of the heart and the mind. And so the belief that we just read about of making the Lord your refuge, there was something amiss in the book of Acts. And I think this is such a powerful story. Something was missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lauren's referring to Acts 19 and the verses are 11 through 15. And so I want to read it now. It says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick and diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had
evil
spirits.
The word was out, right?
The word was out. Like, this dude is healing people. And these Jewish folks were like, I want some of that power. I got the power. I want the power. And so you and I were, I mean, it's comical. But what this gentleman did was, he's like, I'm going to undertake to invoke this name of the Lord Jesus who's had evil spirits saying, and so this gentleman was saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. So he's not saying, I'm proclaiming you, or I've given you lordship over my life, but I know Paul has.
This and guy this guy that's using your name, that's doing mighty things, I want in.
I want in. And then basically it says seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. So seven folks. But the funny thing is in verse 15, it says, but the evil spirit answered them. So the evil spirit's like, hold on for a second. Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And so it's having that authentic relationship with Jesus. And claiming complete lordship over your life. We're not going to be able to have this power if it's power that is superficial or if it's power that you don't truly believe in. And these gentlemen were doing that, which was kind of hysterical.
I just love that. And what happened? Didn't he turn and attack him or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah. It says the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And whenever, you know,
naked and wounded. Wow.
Naked. And you see naked in the Bible. That's really what God was doing, was humbling those people. And you and I have had a long about humility, Lauren, and you know, God really doesn't like the prideful, and those who are humble will seek his kingdom. And so, God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, and these other people wanted in, and God's like, nope, I see your intent. And God knows the intent of our heart too, when we're using his name in certain situations.
That's the dear God, grant me a humble spirit, the purity of intention, and a profound sense of love. Those three virtues tie us so closely to the heart of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And those three virtues show exactly how Jesus Christ of Nazareth walked this earth. He walked this earth in humility, purity of intention, and love. And that is a powerful prayer. Dear God, increase my humility, my purity of intention, and my love today, so that I could be victorious. It's interesting, the commission, you know, Jesus is training up his peeps. And he, like I've often said, he's the ultimate coach. You know, he's, before I meet with any client, I always say, you know, I know you're the ultimate coach. So you give me whatever this person needs to get unstuck and move forward. He was the ultimate coach. In Luke 10:19, he says to his people, he gathered them together because he wanted to spread the word, obviously. He's the Son of God. And he said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, all the power of the enemy. It doesn't say power and authority of the enemy. This is an important distinction here in this verse. I have given you the power to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And then in Luke 9:1, when Jesus called the 12 together, it says again, I have given you the power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Power and authority. So power and authority he's given us. Again, Satan only had that power over the enemy. The enemy only has power, and the enemy only has authority to enter into your mind, by the way, by your own consent. My mother used to always say, when I was growing up and I was hurt by what other people said or did and got my feelings hurt, she would say, you only feel inferior by your own consent. And this is another one of those examples. You only allow the emotion of fear, which I've mentioned before, but fear is like the three-legged stool. Fear is the top of the stool. It's held up by the fear that you're not okay, that you won't be able to handle it, and that you might die. And majority of the time, when we have that fear of what will people think, fear of how things will turn out or why things happened as they did, fear of death may not be a physical death. In my case, it was. Sometimes even more painful is the death to ego, the death of being overlooked, the death to worrying about what someone says to you, the death to not having people like you and being at peace. This is what Jesus was calling his people out to free them from. This is what he calls us to today, to free us from. How much mind space is taken up worrying about what people will think or how they will respond? Do they like me? Dear God, help us not to care whether or not people like us. Help us to spend all that freed up thought space to focus on taking every thought captive and making it obedient to you. Then you will take us where you want us to go, and you will guide us to plant the seeds in the lives of those people entrusted to our care. And we don't have to rise and fall then, depending upon the reactions or lack of reactions of people around us. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. Are you claiming this power today? What is your fear today? Write it down. Be very, very specific. Clarity of focus leads to accuracy of response. What are you afraid of today? Write it down. And then put a big X through that. Flip the piece of paper over and declare the word of God over it, over that. No, I refuse to play in that space of fear. Jesus Christ of Nazareth has given me power and authority to drive this out. And I stop and rebuke any evil schemes set against my life today that are preventing me from doing the good work of God that Jesus died to unleash in my life. Use your mouth as a spiritual weapon to drive out the serpent of fear in your life today. Luke 10:17, the 72 returned after Jesus sent them out and said, hey, go to the local towns in my name. You'll be able to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So they go out, and lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Then they come back. They're all gathered around, and they're all rejoicing with joy. And they're saying, I can't believe that I did this, and this happened, and that happened. And Jesus had a coaching moment and said to them, interrupt them, don't rejoice that the demons respond. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That's a powerful focus. Our joy comes from knowing that we are saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Our names are written in the book of life. That's our main focus. In Taekwondo, it was always a focus to guide the efforts toward to accomplish the desired outcome. Whatever board it is that you're wanting to break in life, is it the board of fear? Is it the board of self-doubt? Is it the board of anxiety around the unknown? Look beyond the board to the one who calls you, knowing that he is faithful and he'll give you the strength to break through that board so that your eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. The 72 returned with joy. The joy wasn't, wow, Lord, it's so amazing to feel your power within us. No, what they said is even the demons submit to us in our name. How often do our egos jump into that seat, Jen?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as you're talking, Lauren, it's amazing, you know, what God presses on our hearts, the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And as you're talking and sharing about the ifs, we have a lot of fear because of the what ifs, not knowing what is going to happen. And during our lives, and even during your life specifically, I'm sure you could have allowed yourself to live in that space from, hey, the day I received my diagnosis to the, you know, what does this look like, this new life for me moving forward if I conquer death here on earth, which you did, you know, God gave you a new lease on life. But that in between time, what I'm learning and hearing from this whole podcast is we have a lot of in-betweens. And even we have this earth and this world that we live in right now, but for those who believe in Jesus and that he died on the cross for our sins, this isn't our final destination. We believe in an eternal home, but we're always living in that in between. And the devil knows that, and he takes a foothold, and he will ping us with fear in these in between times. And so even I'm thinking of all the in-between times that we can learn from the Bible, how should we show up when the Israelites were the in-between slavery and captivity and being ushered into the promised land? What did they learn in the in-between times? Even Noah and the ark, there was the in-between and that uncertainty of, hey, we're flooding right now. I need to have this trust and this faith and not this fear that you're going to bring us through this other side, God, during this storm. And that we're in the ark. And even now in COVID-19, a lot of us are living in the in-betweens, not knowing, okay, you know, we've got this virus and this nasty disease. What is this new normal going to be look like? And when we live in these in-between from a earthly perspective, fear, doubt, anxiety will come in. But if we choose to seize and cast out all fear and rebuke the enemy, these in-between times can be sacred, beautiful space where we can grow and learn so much of where God wants us to be. It truly is a gift, but it's a shift in mindset to be able to receive it that way.
It is. And Jen, it's a determined mindset.
It's a determined mindset.
It's truly being determined to keep our peace, to hold on to our peace, to hold fast to Christ. To make it, that's why that one verse, take every thought and make it captive and obedient to Christ, to be determined to keep our peace. In Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything. It didn't say don't be anxious about some things, particularly this COVID-19. You can be anxious about that. That's okay. And you can be anxious about this and that. No, no, no. This is the word of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is challenging. I'm just saying, believe me, and I'm not inviting anybody that's listening today to do anything I have not been fighting with for quite some time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So this is our spiritual warfare, declaring, no, 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 because peace is the ability to maintain calm in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of not knowing how things will turn out. The peace of Christ gives us that victory to be able to maintain peace beyond human understanding. It doesn't make sense to be peaceful right now. Where is that coming from? That's our witness, because we can't do this on our own. And so the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When do we get that peace that passes all understanding, and it will guard our hearts and our minds, so our mouths will speak peace and calm out into this world? Over the last 24 hours, has your mouth been speaking peace and calm to the people around you? Do not be anxious about anything. Let the peace of Christ in Colossians 3:15 rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you're called to peace, and be thankful. When we are grateful, when we are thankful, when we make the Lord our refuge, when we love the Lord, read through very slowly Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. Circle those directives. There are so many directives. I read that every single night for 2 straight years in a row. It was open on my pillow next to me, morning and night, declaring the truth of that. And if I didn't believe it, and if I was like 80%, 20%, or 50-50, or 40-60, I would ask the Lord to recover that other 60% of me that wasn't believing this. I need help, Lord. 40% of me believes this verse. And I want to be full on, full Monty.
Well, straight on.
You're completely on board with this, because I know that I know that if my peace, if you rule my heart, this is where it starts. Heart, mind, mouth. Heart, mind, mouth. If you are experiencing fear in your heart, go back to that relationship with Christ. Lord, I've been sitting on my heart. It's been 50-50. It's been 40-60. I give you the rest. I desire your recovery. So 100% of my heart belongs to you. You sit on the throne of my heart and master my mind, so that I can take every thought captive and make it obedient to you, so that my mouth can speak your peace to the world around me. Everything I say comes from taking every thought captive and make it obedient to you. Before I speak, I will say, Lord, do you want me to say this? Does this reflect me taking refuge in you? Or does this reflect me taking refuge in the world? Big difference. And that's an invitation, an action step moving forward. Observe how much of your words that flow out of your mouth in the next 48 hours are linked to you taking refuge in the world, or finding your identity in the world, or taking refuge in Christ. Record the ramifications of those two choice points. Jen, any forward action steps for listeners today?
I would even suggest listeners to even go in the Bible, and God made so many promises. His word is truth. And the Bible uses the phrase, fear not, or do not be afraid, more than 100 times. So if you're living in that in-between phase and fear comes in and you want to conquer it with faith, go and look and claim those scriptures for your life. Our merciful Heavenly Father knew Satan would often use fear to imprison our hearts, and fear paralyzes the mind, and it weakens the will and destroys the dream within all of us. And God has put in a purpose and a dream for all of our lives. So finding out what that is, and that fear is the antithesis of faith. For great faith cast out fear. Fear is one of those weapons that Satan uses to destroy our peace. And so really knowing when Satan, the enemy, slithers in, is he destroying my peace right now? And what can I do proactively? I've got the power and authority to rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. And I often, sometimes, Lauren, will say that out loud. As soon as something hits me and I realize what's going on and it's spiritual warfare, I will say out loud, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The victory has been won on the cross. You are not victorious. Christ is. And I actually claim those words. And then I want to leave the listeners too with two verses. One is from Revelation 1, 17 through 18. It says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And the other verse is Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And God says in the Bible in various places, I will not leave you or forsake you. And in these in-between phases when fear pings us, we often feel like we're isolated, left alone, we're forgotten. But God has forgotten you. And what you said, Lauren, in Psalm 91, it's near the last couple of verses. God knows our name. He has our names written on the palms of hand. He loves us. And he doesn't want us to live in that space of fear.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that. And listeners, remember that when Satan plants that thought of fear, you are alone. No one likes you. Everybody hates you. You're not going to be successful. I mean, my gosh, write it down as quickly as possible and then rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth with one of these scriptures that we have today. We will list these scriptures at edgegodin.com with this podcast, as we do with all of our podcasts at edgegodin.com. And we invite you to share this with someone that you know that is expressing fear, that is in that place of giving more authority to the outer world and the perceptions of lack of safety and connection than they are to the presence of the living Christ within them. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together. We pray for victory. Give us a determined mind to keep peace. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, no doubt. And we resist him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth today. So any fear that has been harboring and taking up residence within our mind, we cast out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we declare victory. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Give us a determined mind to stay in our heart with you, to literally crawl up in your lap and linger there, knowing that you are sovereign, and not to speak any word unless we look to you and simply ask, do you want me to say this? Do you want me to think this thought? Give us victory, Lord, and help us to remember how much you love us. Help us to know that we know that we know that you adore us, that you have our name written on the palm of your hand, and that victory is ours. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jen, thank you so much for co-hosting today. So grateful for your presence.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. It was great. Yep.
Absolutely. So listeners, this will be posted at edgegodin.com. Obviously, if you're already listening to it, perhaps you've accessed it on the podcast app on your iPhone or other mobile devices. Share the word and edge God in more today than yesterday. God bless you. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon.